Okay, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful and enkindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray, O God, who did instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant us the same Spirit to be truly wise and ever to rejoice in his consolation through Christ our Lord. Amen. And we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us with his grace to understand the writings that we read today from the book of Adam. May the Holy Spirit immerse us in the will of the Fathers. Amen. Today we are in number 75.
Okay. Number 75, entry, March 25th, 1929. My daughter, this is why I take so much love in manifesting to you all that regards my divine will. Everything I have manifested to you about it is nothing other than the whole order of its kingdom. And all this was to be manifested from the beginning of creation, if Adam had not sinned, because in each manifestation of mine regarding my divine fiat, man was to grow in the sanctity and beauty of his creator. And therefore, I intended to do it little by little, giving him as though many sips of divine life to make him grow according to how my divine will wanted. So by sinning, man interrupted my speaking and reduced me to silence. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. So we continue to hear what the Lord says about the fall of Adam. As we read this book, we already know we should be getting the sense that the fall of Adam is the cause of everything that is that man suffers. Like after the fall, all kinds of things begin to happen. All the disorders began in man. Not only outside, but also inside. All the dimensions of man were falling to disorder. That harmony in which God had created him became disorders. And I wanted to go to the gospel today. Matthew 13, 31 to 32. And there we find the parable of the mustard seed. This is what the Lord says. Many times in the gospel, the Lord begins with this phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like. You look at the Gospels in Matthew, when the Lord talks about the kingdom of heaven, he always begins like this. The kingdom of heaven is like. And then from there, he explains. So in this occasion, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds. But when it has grown, It is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the earth come and make nest in its branches. In this passage that we hear, our Lord Jesus is telling Luisa Pegarreta that all these manifestations regarding the divine will, says everything that I have manifested to you about it is nothing other than the whole order of the kingdom. And all this was to be manifested from the beginning of creation. If Adam had not sinned, because in each manifestation of mine regarding my divine fiat, man was to grow in the sanctity and the beauty of his creation. So after the fall, everything that God did, everything that God has done, was for us to receive. It was for the restoration of the gift that we lost. Everything that God has done, everything that you see in the Old Testament, everything that Jesus did is for this time. And for what? For the goal to return to the original state of grace. That's the whole purpose, to recover what we lost. So in this book of Adam, we see what we lost. And we see that man was supposed to grow a little by little according to his capacity. He was supposed to grow in sanctity, in love, in beauty, a little by little. As the Lord says, he was giving him little sips of his will. Little sips, little sips. And this is what the Lord is doing in the Gospels. He's giving us a little sips of his will to understand. We cannot understand the book of heaven. We cannot understand these passages regarding Adam if we do not understand the Gospels and we do not understand who our Lord Jesus is. When the Lord Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like, he really is referring to the kingdom of the divine will, because the kingdom of heaven is the will of God. In God, all the saints, they are fixed in his will. So to say the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of the divine will is the same. And Jesus could have said, the kingdom of the divine will is like. But people will not be able to understand it. In that same chapters, we see that the Lord says, let me find my place here. Says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. That's the same chapter 13, but verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure in the field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And then he continues and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And in finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. And then he gives us another example. He says, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net which was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind, and it was full. Men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into the vessels, but threw away the bad. Why are we talking about the Gospel of Matthew if we are talking about, if we are reading the book of Adam? Because this is what Adam possessed. Our Lord Jesus is trying to teach them, to make them understand what the kingdom of heaven is, which is the same as the kingdom of the divine will, because in heaven, everybody is fixed in the will of God. So we now are able to understand when our Lord Jesus talks about the divine will, we should immediately understand that the kingdom of the divine will is the kingdom in heaven, is what our Lord Jesus is talking about. And this is what he possessed, Adam possessed. He possessed this pearl. He possessed this treasure. Because he says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. So these writings, they teach us how to operate in union with God's will, how to let God's will operate in us. So it is really a treasure. And Adam didn't see it like that. He didn't see it like that, and he lost it. This is what we understand through the writings of Luisa Picarreta, that even though he was growing in beauty, in sanctity, in holiness, in everything that God is, and little by little, according to his capacity as creature, he lost this gift. So then the Lord says, giving him as though many sips of divine life to make him grow according to how my divine will wanted. So by sinning, man interrupted my speaking and reduced me to silence. And this is exactly what the church tells us in the catechism. This is what the church teaches in 374 all the way to 379, that Adam was created in that state of holiness, that yes, he was growing in that he enjoyed this harmony, and there was harmony between God and man, between the two of them. He possessed complete dominion over himself, and he possessed dominion over creation, but all this was interrupted by the fall of Adam, because out of his free will, he sinned. In volume 33, December 10, 1933, Our Lord Jesus reveals to Luisa Picarreta what the first words of Adam were when he fell. The breath of his creator running through all his entire being. And it is interesting that the same words that Adam issued, the same words that he spoke, thank you, my God and my fathers, the author of my life. Basically, there are two phrases there. Thank you, my God and my fathers. My God and my fathers. And then if you go to the Gospel of John, when our Lord speaks to Mary Magdalene in the tomb, and Mary wasn't able to recognize the risen Christ, and she's weeping. She's weeping, and what our Lord Jesus answers to her is the following. Let me give you the reference. So in chapter 16 of the Gospel of John, excuse me, no, it's not 16. Chapter 20 of the Gospel of John. This is what our Lord answers to Mary Magdalene. It reads, Jesus said to her, do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. The new Adam, which is Christ, is now recognizing. These are very similar words. What Adam said as soon as he felt the divine breath running through all his entire being. Thank you, my God and my Father, the author of my life. My God and my Father. He recognizes God as the author of his life, as the creator of everything that exists, as his Father. And Jesus, in a very similar way, he says, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. He recognizes God again. And this is not new in the Gospel of John, but the importance that now the new Adam, you see, Christ is the new Adam. He's redoing the whole man. In the same way that he was restoring us when he was doing miracles, even after the resurrection, when everything is complete, and now basically he comes alive as a new, after the resurrection, everything is being restored. Now he's in complete union. All the human race is in complete, is able to appear. Basically, he has redone man. And on behalf of all the human race, he's saying that, my God and my fathers. And he's telling Mary Magdalene, go and tell them so that we may recognize God as our Father. So that's something that we have to, as we read the book of Adam, we have to look for all these things that will help us understand also sacred scriptures in union with the book of Adam. That's the purpose. And just to mention that this is exactly what the bishop in Trani wants us to do, who's encouraging us to do, to read the Book of Heaven along with the writings, along with sacred scripture and along with the catechism. So we see some similarities there, and then we see how our Lord Jesus and why our Lord Jesus is doing all of this. We understand it now through the Book of Heaven. Let me see if I can give you another passage to understand this one. Okay. Let's go to the next passage.
Okay. Entry number 76, April 7th, 1929. And I, being spectator of all this, not only do I rejoice within you, but I do not regret having created the heavens, the sun, and all creation. On the contrary, I feel happier because it is enjoyed by my little daughter. The joys, the contentments, the glory of when everything was created are repeated for me, of when Adam, innocent, had not yet made the note of sorrow of his rebellious will, resound in the whole creation, which broke the gaiety, the happiness, the sweet smile that my divine will had to give to creatures through the sun, the wind, the starry heavens. Because, daughter of mine, by not doing my divine will, man put his clashing note in our work of creation. Therefore, he lost the accord with all created things, and we feel the sorrow and the dishonor that there is a string out of tune in our work that does not produce a beautiful sound. And this discordant note moves away from the earth, the kisses, the joys, the smiles contained in my divine will in creation. Therefore, the person who does my will and lives in it is the note of accord with everyone. Her sound contains a note not of sorrow, but of joy and of happiness. And it is so harmonious that all perceive, even the very elements realize that in the creature, there is the note of my will. And as though putting everyone aside, they want to enjoy she who possesses that will, by which they all are animated and preserved. Jesus kept silent, and I said to him, my love, you have told me many times that one who lives in your divine will is a sister to all created things. I want to see whether my sister late recognizes me. And do you know how? If in looking at it, it does not dazzle my sight. And Jesus, certainly it will recognize you. Try and you will see. I looked straight into the center of the sphere of the sun, and the light seemed to caress my pupil, but without dazzling me, in such a way that I was able to look into its center at its great sea of light. How clear and beautiful it was. How true it is that it symbolizes the infinite, endless sea of light of the divine fiat. I said, thank you, O Jesus, for letting me be recognized by my sister late. And Jesus resumed his speaking. My daughter, even from the breath is one who lives in my will, recognized by all creation. Because each created thing feels in that creature the power of the fiat and the supremacy which God gave her over the whole creation. Look and listen, my daughter. In the beginning, when Adam and Eve were created, Eden was given to them as their dwelling, in which they were happy and holy. This garden is a simile of that Eden, though it is not as beautiful and flowery. Now, know that I have permitted your coming to this house, which is surrounded by a garden, for you to be the new Eve, not Eve the tempter, who deserved to be put out of Happy Eden, but Eve the reformer and the restorer, who will call again the kingdom of my divine will upon earth. Ah, yes, you will be the seed, the cement on the woodworm the human will has. You will be the beginning of the new happy era. This is why I centralize in you the joy, the goods, the happiness of the beginning of creation. And I love to repeat the conversations, the lessons, the instructions I would have given if man had not withdrawn from our divine will. Therefore, be attentive and let your flight in it be continuous. This is from volume 25, April 7th, 1929. And there is a footnote to this reading as follows. I'm going to quote it. It's a 17 footnote. The new Eve for sure is Mary, so called and considered by the church because associated in a unique way to Christ, the new Adam. Mary is the true mother of all living, the victorious woman, never conquered, promised in the Protovangelo. The same title is given to Louisa for a different reason, because with her, the new happy era of the divine will is opened again, which had been closed by Eve. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. Okay, so we see again that is the rebellious will of man that basically distort everything, that is the cause of this disorder again. All creation is fixed in the will of God. They never went out of order. They are fixed in the will of God. We are the only ones who went away from His will. And all creation, even St. Paul says, all creation is groaning in pains, labor pains, right? And when somebody's going to give birth, all this pain, why? Because there is a life inside that wants to come out. So St. Paul compares this, that is, all creation is groaning in pain because there is the divine life in there that wants to say something about the Creator. So many times our Lord Jesus uses the symbol of the sun, the light, as the divine will. And in there we see that the sun with the light and the heat and all that the sun is wants to tell us, God wants to tell us, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And there is something in there that never changes. And the same with the other elements and in creation, that they, God is trying to tell us, I love you, I love you, I love you. And we cannot hear because we went away. We are not in that union anymore. So through these writings of Luisa Picaretta, we learn how to go back to that order. That's why the title of these writings. Because through these writings, our Lord Jesus is instructing Luisa Picaretta how to go back, how to rejoin the will of God. And we know that In baptism, we are rejoined again. We are joined in that. Everything begins in baptism for us. That's why the sacraments are necessary. So everything happens in baptism. We receive that divine life in us. And through the sacraments, we are called to remain in union. But now through the writings of Lisa Picarreta, the Lord is teaching her how to use her free will to go back to this union, to remain there always. Not only when you receive the sacraments, but at every moment, so that his life may be operating in you, in every one of us. And once this happens, then we enter into that union, and in which everything is, still is in the union with God's will. Remember, we are the only ones who went away. Just to warn you, don't try to do the same as Luisa did, to look straight at the sun. Right? It says that our Lord, she asked our Lord Jesus, okay, Lord, if I'm really living in the divine will, can you allow me to do this? I don't recommend you to do this. I rather just use my faith and belief. The Lord Jesus is talking about this era of living in the divine will, is preparing this time. I found a beautiful passage that comes from volume 12. May 22nd, 1919. This is what our Lord Jesus says about this preparation for the era of living in the divine will. Because there are many things out there that people, sometimes they let their minds wander, and they say things that I don't think are necessarily truth, or they don't have the intention to say this, but sometimes it comes in the wrong way. This is what our Lord Jesus says. And this love, excuse me, no, I don't want to go. Okay, and this love me and give me glory, and 10 for 100, for 1,000, etc. He's talking about the people who lives in the divine will. But then this is what I want to focus on in the prayer, but let me get there. In this way, my glory is complete on the part of creation. And when I see that the creature cannot reach in spite of her good will, I draw her into my will, in which she finds the virtue of multiplying one single act for as many as she wants. And she gives me glory, honor, love, which others do not give me. Remember that when our Lord talks about centralizing everything in Luisa Picarreta, that means that he's able to put everything that he is, all the joy, everything that the divine will is, basically all the attributes, but always according to the capacity of the creature. And the creature always growing into this capacity as long as we remain in union. Okay. But this is what then he's saying. He says, this is why I am preparing the era of living in my will. He's not saying about the era of peace or anything else. He's mentioning This is why I'm preparing the era of living in my will, so that for what they have not done in the past generations and will not do in this era of my will, they will complete the love, the glory, the honor of the whole creation, as I give them astounding and unheard of graces. And this is why I call you to live in my will, and I whisper in your ear. He calls Luisa Picaretta to live in this era, is preparing the era of living in the divine will, so that he can receive from the past generations. He says, Jesus, so Jesus whispers in Luisa's ears, Jesus, I laid at your feet the adoration, the subjection of the whole human family. I place in your heart the love, the I love you of all. Upon your lips, I impress my kiss in order to seal the kiss of all generations. With my arms, I clap you. So I clap you, to clap you with my arms, with the arms of all, to bring you the glory of all the works of creatures. And I feel in you the adoration, the I love you, the kiss, etc., of the whole human family. How could I not give to you the love, the kisses, the graces which I should give to others? When our Lord Jesus is telling Luisa Picaretta that she is the new Eve, that he is preparing her, as it is mentioned here in the footnote, we know that the Blessed Mother is the new Eve. And Luisa, when our Lord says, you are the new Eve, not the tempter, but the reformer and the restorer, who will call the kingdom of my divine will upon earth. The Blessed Mother is the new Eve. That's what the church teaches us. With her grace, with her fiat, she was able to basically call the Redeemer, to hasten the Redeemer. Through her gest, God was able to give us the Redeemer, his son Jesus. He needed the gest of the creature, and this creature is Mary. But the Blessed Mother, remember, she is conceived without sin. She's immaculate. Luisa Picaretta is a creature. The Blessed Mother is a creature conceived without sin. Luisa Picaretta is not conceived without a sin, is like us. She needed to be baptized. So through her, our Lord Jesus is teaching us that yes, it is possible for us to receive this gift. Because one could say, well, the Blessed Mother received this gift because she was preserved from original sin. And what about us? Well, the church teaches us that the saints, they give us example that they accompany us through their prayers. So in this case, we know that Luisa Picaretta is not a saint yet. She's a servant of God. She's in the process. There is a process that is being initiated by the Bishop Intrani. And we know that this takes time, especially with Luisa, that she wrote so much. We also know that the Bishop Intrani has told us that we are free to read these writings, and that the process is going to take some time. We know that this will take time, but in the meantime, this is what we can do. We can read these writings always with the mind of the church. So that we can have the proper interpretation, so that we not be misguided. And if we read this in that way, we should be able to grow in this understanding. And when we encounter these passages like this, that they tell us, well, you are the new Eve. So somebody could say, well, see, this is heresy. See how those who read the writings of Luisa Picaretta, they are wrong. See, there is a mistake there. There is an error. No, because we understand that the Blessed Mother, she is the new Eve, as Christ is the new Adam. And if the church is telling us that Christ is the first one of many that will follow, well, Christ is divine, the Blessed Mother is preserved of original sin, and then how can we be one of the many? Well, it's exactly through understanding this way of living that our Lord Jesus was united, the humanity of our Lord Jesus was united to his divinity. So by nature, he is divine. And his humanity was always united into this divinity. And that the Blessed Mother received this grace, and by saying yes, always, and Jesus also says yes. I didn't come to do my will, but the will of the one who sent me. So our Lord Jesus is divine by nature. The Blessed Mother possesses this gift by grace. And she still has to exercise her will to say yes, to remain in this union. How are we going to possess this divine will operating in us if we are not divine, if we didn't receive the gift of Immaculate Conception? Of being immaculate conceived, if we are born in original sin? Well, it is exactly through these writings that we come to understand that now by using our human will, our freedom, we can go back and say, yes, I give you my will. I give you my will. Come and operate in me. Because in baptism already allows me to do that, enables me to do that, because that divine life, that the implantation of the divine life is already in me. By virtue of baptism, this gift is already in me. I'm able now to be united. So what the Book of Heaven tells us, basically is giving us both sides. As we read the Book of Adam, we see how the Lord tells us all the wonderful things that Adam enjoyed when he remained in his will. That he was growing in holiness, in beauty, in truth. He was always giving Adam all these sips of his will, and Adam was groaning at every moment. And then we see the other side, the calamity, the fall. And basically, we see here both sides. And now we have a free choice. We have a free will. We already have been restored. We are able to be in union with God's will again because of what our Lord Jesus did, his incarnation, his life. And now, through exercising our free will, we know how to go back. So, yes, the Blessed Mother is the new Eve. Adam, Christ is the new Adam. And we are called to be one of the many who will follow. Christ. And this is right in line with what the Church teaches in 381, that comes basically from Ephesians 1, 3 to 6, and Romans 8, 29. So there is, I don't see, or we shouldn't see any problem. We shouldn't have any problem when our Lord Jesus explains to Teresa Picaretta, yes, you are the new Eve, the reformer, the restorer. We will call again the kingdom of my divine will upon earth. And yes, you will be the seed, the cement of the woodworm the human will has. You will be the beginning of the new happy era. This is why I centralize in you the joy, the goods, the happiness of the beginning of creation. And I love you, and I love to repeat the conversations, the lessons, the instructions I will have given if men had not withdrawn from our divine fiat, our divine will. Remember what he said in the previous passage, that men interrupted the speaking of God. It says, men interrupted my speaking and reduced me to silence. Now, we are able to do this, to have this conversation again, because our Lord Jesus, remember, he restored the hearing of the deaf man, signifying that after that, he's restoring our ability also to be able to hear him again. He's redoing all the human race. But again, everything begins in baptism. Everything begins in baptism. And from there, we begin our journey of advancing into this union with God. Luisa Picaretta, because her mission is exactly this, to call the kingdom of divine will, the first one of her kind, the first creature born in original sin, now being restored basically. So from her we learn how we can follow. So basically we can say that he is one of the many already that will follow. So I don't know about you, but I want to be one of the many. I don't want to be one of the rest. So in this passage that I gave you, May 22, 1919, from volume 12, you find there that our Lord Jesus is talking about preparing the era of living in his will. And basically we are here. Basically we are here because this is available already for everybody. We have to have the knowledge. We have to have the knowledge of how to live, how to unite in the will of God, with the will of God, and then to want to do it, and he will continue filling us, restoring us a little by little. Remember, with Adam, he was doing sip by sip, he tells us. And with us, we can say again, sip by sip, and we can say act by act. With every single act, he's restoring us. There's a beautiful quotation of one of the Mexican martyrs in the persecution. It's a young boy, 12 years old, that he faced martyrdom, Jose Sanchez del Rio. And he said, never before it was so easy to gain heaven. Never before it was so easy to gain heaven. Because in that persecution, they will come and they will execute everybody. And if you refuse, I mean, if you denied that you were a Christian, they will let you go. But if you remained fasting in the faith, in your faith, they will execute you. So that's why he said, never before it was so easy to gain heaven, to go into heaven. So for us, using his same thinking, we can say, never before it was so easy to start living heaven here on earth, the life of heaven. When we talk about the living heaven or the life of heaven on earth, many people, they think, well, wonderful things, blah, 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 blah. But we are talking that there will be no pain, no suffering. When we referring to the divine will, when we talk about beginning to live heaven here, or the life of heaven, is to begin to live the interior life that our Lord Jesus lived. Our Lord Jesus was living the life of heaven, and yet he was persecuted. How can you explain that? How can you explain that he was living the life of heaven when he's on the cross? I don't see that he's joyful, that he's rejoicing, he's suffering. He's enduring pain. You see all this in the 24 hours of the Passion. But when we talk about living the life of heaven, beginning to live the life of heaven, in this context of the Book of Heaven and the Divine Will, is about living in that union. Because remember, in heaven, everybody is fixed in the will of God. So for us to live the life of heaven here is to be fixed in the will of God too. So it makes perfect sense with what our Lord Jesus says. They will persecute you. Come and follow me. He didn't promise great things here on earth, but he promised everything on the other life. So when we say to begin to live the life of heaven here, we are referring to begin to that union of the two wills here, the union of the two wills. So let's live it.